Hello and welcome to Talking to the Top, a podcast made by students for students. My name is Freddie.
And I'm Ed.
And we will be your hosts. Throughout these episodes, we will give you an insight into the lives and minds of incredibly successful people in their respective fields, allowing you to learn more about the world that lies ahead of us all, and, most importantly, how our brilliant guests got to where they are today. So, sit back, relax, and join us as we dive deep into the stories of these amazing individuals, uncovering the secrets of their success and explore the many twists and turns of their careers.
So like last year, we've come to the end of another season and we wanted to kind of take you along and go over our favourite moments and our key takeaways from all the episodes and show you a little bit of what the behind the scenes looks like.
Before we properly dive in, we do need to say that we are sat in Ed's car right now because everything's being a bit on the go. So if a sound is a little bit different to normal, we apologise. But yeah.
So amazingly, we've been working on this podcast since the beginning of 2023. And since then, we've had the opportunity to speak to people we never thought we'd get to chat to. Naturally, it hasn't always been plain sailing, but we've stuck with it. And honestly, we wouldn't have it any other way.
Both of us have actually had a really busy start to the new year with university applications and travel plans, but it's our turn to put some of the advice we've received into practice. So because of this, we feel like we've reached a natural point to take a pause on the podcast for a little bit.
Before you all kind of break down in a fit of tears, do not fret. This is not necessarily an end, but merely a chance for us to both take a well-earned rest and focus on the next few months ahead.
To focus on some more cheery stuff, we thought this would be a fun chance to reflect on the first two seasons and share some of our memorable podcasting moments with you.
So our first guest of the season was Theo Perfitis.
I think the biggest piece of advice that I took away from Theo's episode was about using all the tools that are available to you, right?
Yeah, looking at what your skill set is and using that to your advantage.
He did make a point of, yeah, knowing yourself, knowing where your skills lie, and also knowing where your weaknesses lie. For him, he spoke a lot about his dyslexia and actually how he found a way to manage it.
Yeah, and you almost use it to his advantage as well. So then we went on to interview Val Garland.
Val, what a character.
Wow,
she
Val.
Was quite... Val is a bit of an icon at Talking to the Top. What I loved about Val, it's kind of similar to Theo in a respect. It was the fact that she spoke about the importance of showing up to yourself.
Yeah.
And also about being adaptable. She told a really nice story about how she turned up for a shoot and she was told by the director of the shoot that she would be needing to draw a daisy on the side of the model's face. And so she produced this incredibly intricate daisy. And when the director of the shoot saw it, he said, "Oh no, I literally just wanted a cartoon daisy."
Yeah.
And so I think in that instant, I think it'd be very easy to, you know, lose it a little bit.
Yeah,
I definitely
get stressed,
know I would.
Get a bit pissed off.
But I think the advice she gave really well is actually learning to respect yourself, respect your own skills, and also at the end of the day, I think in a lot of careers, you are working for someone, and
yeah.
So adaptability is a really important part of your job.
Yeah.
So I went in there and I was painting this intricate peony on this girl's face, and I really got into it. And you know that thing when you feel like, yeah, I've done a good job. So I went out to the photographer and the stylist and I'm like, "Oh, do you want to just come and see what I've done? Like, you know, if you like it, like, you know." It's only taken me 40 minutes. And I'm thinking like, "Oh, they're going to love this." And they walk in and I'm sort of giving that kind of like, "Oh, what do you think, Ben?" No, that's too much. We don't like it. No. We just wanted a daisy. Like she'd drawn it herself with a pen. And I was like, "Okay, great. Yeah. I'll just take it off." But so you've got to, no matter who you are a team player.
So then we went on to interview the Lord Mark Sedwill, which was actually a live event, which was honestly such a cool opportunity for Talking to the Top.
I think what stood out was his ability to calmly handle in discussion some very serious topics.
100%. He was really good at like forming concise answers to what are some quite like difficult, challenging questions.
Yeah, specifically about Gaza, the future of conflict, and also some more domestic topics. He very much has been at the forefront of some of the most significant political and international events over the last 10 years. And I think his...
Last 20 years.
And his ability, I think, to remain calm and professional when dealing with those issues was very much reflected in the way in which he spoke to us. That was a great insight.
And we loved hearing the questions from you guys.
This was followed by an interview with Kate Moss, the author. With founding the Women's Prior, she spoke about the resistance she faced, right? Not just from the standard audience you'd expect to receive resistance from, but actually from more progressive circles. And it made her, I think, really question why she was doing what she was doing in founding the Women's Prize, but she very much stuck with her gut. She knew that it was right, and she followed her intentions through, even when she was receiving that criticism. Yeah. And I think that's a lesson we can all take away. Whilst it's important, right, to be adaptable, it's equally important
to stick to your gut.
Setting up the prize, those first few months when we announced the prize, were appalling. I mean, absolutely appalling. And I would love to think that I would have had the courage to keep going in these days of social media, but it would have been terrible. Because even in those days when there was no such thing as social media, I would go onto a radio show. People would say to me, your husband must be ashamed of you. I mean, it was very aggressive. Like, this is sexist. This is backward thinking. Women shouldn't be doing this kind of thing. If I had a quid for every person who said if women were any good, they'd win the real prizes, we wouldn't have needed a sponsor. I mean, people would ring up my home number in order to berate me and tell me this was a terrible thing we're doing. So it's horrible. But we believed it was the right thing to do. And it's the old suffragette anthem, if you like, deeds, not words. Mm-hmm. If you think something isn't right, do something. I mean, it's what you guys are doing. You're doing a podcast. You're not just sitting around. You're having conversations. You're putting ideas out into the world. So that's the key thing. And also, it's that every single little thing anybody does matters. It's very tempting to think it's all so difficult, it's not worth trying. It's always worth trying because each one of us can make a difference, voice by voice.
We then went on to interview our second Kate of the season. Honestly, her episode was so good. What stood out to me was her ability to tell captivating stories. I remember she was talking about a hostage exchange, and Freddie and I think I can speak for both of us in saying that we were literally hanging off her every word.
Yeah, we're quite literally leaning into the computer because honestly, we did have it on Zoom, but we were very much present in what she was telling us.
Yeah.
I also think with Kate, in being a journalist, and particularly the type of correspondent that she was, it can be easy to very much stick to the facts. I think sometimes with TV journalism, it can be quite dry, almost unemotive. So I was absolutely thrilled to listen to her being able to tell such incredible stories.
I remember a tiny little incident. I mean, it may not seem much, but with very, very difficult conditions and a lot of killing going on in the Bosnian War, going with some very, very courageous people of the International Red Cross, and that's the Swiss bit with Swiss people, who go across front lines or into other places, often for prisoner exchanges and other sort of deeds like that. They're incredibly brave. And we went to this very nondescript but very twitchy village. And I remember people emerging after a lot of guns around, a lot of jumpy people, and these very cool people. And we were very tense behind the thing. What is going to happen? And after a lot of argy-bargy and shouting and occasional sort of rifle fired in the air, there was a movement from behind in some trees, and out came a little group of people. There were only a few of them, and they were there for a prisoner exchange. And there were a couple of people with us, and they were going the other side. They were fine, but the other three had clearly been treated terribly. They're in a dreadful state. And their faces, when the Red Cross very coolly, calmly went up to them and held their hands and sort of drew them across this little area away from the people who'd been keeping them prisoner and obviously doing terrible things. It was quite extraordinary. You know, and they were so frightened. It's breathtaking. And you think these three are going to live and the other two are going back as well. You watch these little moments, which in their lives, probably a matter of life or death. Wow. You do all sorts. You see, you're very privileged at times to think, see things, you know. And there was awfully lots of lovely things that happen. But it's those little moments. And you feel rather intrusive with a camera. It's quite difficult, but it's worthwhile. It shows that that kind of thing can happen.
I think the next episode was actually really reassuring for me. So we spoke to Dame Prue Leith, and she just talked so much about how it's really important to just give everything a go. Like, even if you don't think you're going to be very good at it, just give it a go. Because the worst thing that can happen is you realise maybe this isn't for me. And then you go on to find other things that you really do enjoy. And that was the case for her. You know, she tried a bit of art and it didn't really work out, and she tried a bit of architecture, but without trying all of those different things, she wouldn't have got to where she is today.
A lot of the time when we're thinking about careers and higher education, it's quite easy to think that you have to know what you want to be doing from early on.
Yeah.
And Ed and I are both very much in a space at the moment where we're not 100% sure yet what we want to do. But speaking to people like Prue, it really does make you feel that it's okay. And there is time. And the only people who really can be putting pressure on that is yourself. So if you let yourself have space to explore, then you're really setting yourself up.
I mean, how can you possibly judge? How can you know if you want to be a lawyer if you've never worked in a lawyer's office? Yeah. I mean, you might find law quite interesting. Not know that actually most of the time you're going to be, you know, looking up precedents or doing something really boring. I'm all for young people doing as many things as possible.
We were really lucky to be able to finish season two by speaking to General Sir Patrick Sanders. We had a really fantastic conversation with him about mental health, which was really important to us, having spoken to him around the time of Remembrance Day.
Especially as two young guys, mental health is something that not a lot of people feel like they can talk about. And hearing someone in, you know, his position of leadership, someone who literally was the head of the British Army, opening up about his own mental health was really refreshing and inspiring to hear. Ahem, drum roll, please.
It is now time for the awards. These awards are very much official because we say they are official and we are in charge here.
Yeah.
So, yes, congratulations to all those who are about to receive a very special mention.
The first award. So this award goes to the person who has the most letters after their name. Now, this is a very prestigious award and it was really a tough competition. But it is going to have to go to General Sir Patrick Sanders, KCB, CBE, DSO, and probably some more.
Now, the second award, this is an award that is very important to me and very close to my heart. This is the Best Dressed Award, and this season it goes to none other than Dame Prue Leith.
Now, this award won't come as a surprise to many of you. It's the Storyteller Award, and it goes to Kate Adey.
We've had a lot of heroes in season two, I think, but the Bravest Guest Award is probably going to have to go to Mark Sedwell for not only speaking to us in front of a live audience, but also, as you mentioned earlier, receiving a grilling from the live audience. Now, I say a grilling, I actually don't think you guys were too
brutal. You weren't too horrible.
You weren't too horrible.
But it was pretty brave going in front of a live audience and facing questions to them from them. So thank you, Mark.
Yes, thank you very much Mark, and also we need to watch out because us two might be given a run for our money by some of our listeners. So we need,
100%,
to, definitely. We need to watch our backs. Next, we have the Name Dropper Award. Before I announce who it goes to, I must say that we mean this with the best possible intentions. This person has worked with some absolute legends, and Ed and I would not be able to handle ourselves if we were working
Honestly, her contacts are literally insane.
Yes, so for that reason, this award goes to Val Garland.
So finally, we've come to the end of the awards ceremony tonight. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. We had a really hard time choosing between the two of them, so we've decided to give it to them both. This is the Activist Award, and it goes to Theo Paphitis and Kate Moss. We're not going to say too much about this award, because we actually really want you guys to go away and have a look at the work they've done, because it honestly is incredible.
Now it's time for the bit I've been waiting for since we've began the podcast. This is actually, though, a variation of what I really want to do, because there's going to be another episode coming soon, which I will talk about afterwards. But this is the part where we go through our most memorable moments from having created Talking to the Top. We're going to take you behind the scenes
and give you like a little insight into what it's been like, I guess. We were on the phone last night trying to talk about this, and honestly, it was so hard to pinpoint specific moments from the seasons. But we've done our best, so here it goes.
The first moment for us has to be back where it all began, the first episode. When this actually started, Ed came up to me, said, "Hi, Freddie. Do you want to interview Hugh Bonneville with me?" And I told him to go away and stop joking with me, because that is an absolutely insane idea, because I honestly did not think he would be able to, A, get in contact with Hugh Bonneville, and B, actually get him to want to do a podcast episode with us.
To be honest, I was quite surprised he said yes, but here we are.
It was a shot in the dark, but I think that just goes to show that sometimes you do actually have to just take a little bit of risk and put yourself out there. The first episode, we were really nervous recording it.
We were so nervous.
I don't think it was... It was quite early on in the day, so naturally we were still kind of warming up, waking up, and we did have a couple technical issues, so it was interesting to
say
the least.
We got thrown in at the deep end, but I think we made it work, and even though it is our first episode, I think we are still really proud of it. My second most memorable moment was being able to work with The Rendezvous. This is a charity that both Freddie and I feel really strongly about. The work they do is incredible. They help so many young people in the local area. And so we were really privileged to be able to collaborate with them for our live event.
And that leads us into our third most memorable moment, which is being invited onto local radio. Now, you may think, local radio, what's the big deal with that? But Ed and I are used to recording our episodes and then being able to go away, edit them, tweak them, and kind of carve them into something we want you to be able to listen to. So in this instance, we didn't have that option with it being live. So it was slightly nerve-wracking, but
I actually really enjoyed it.
It was really enjoyable.
It was like the adrenaline from being live on air was something that I think we both thrived in. And yeah, I found it really cool.
It forces you to think on the spot. Properly think on the spot, because once you've said it, it's not going back.
Exactly. So kind of linking in with number two, organising a live event and actually getting to meet our listeners in real life. It was quite scary when we first released the link to book tickets, because we were like, oh my goodness, what happens if no one turns up? But thankfully, quite a few of you did. We were able to raise lots of money for charity and had a great time.
It was basically sold out, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had basically over 100 people come, so we were really, really happy with the outcome.
We have had some phenomenal support from family and friends, and so naturally we expected a lot of them to be there. So when we actually were waiting, we were watching people coming in, and we realised that there were a lot of people we didn't know. That was quite an eye-opening moment for us.
And then finally, this is really something that's been prevalent throughout all the episodes, and that's Freddie having a meltdown before each episode. He always gets quite stressed and can be quite starstruck by some of the guests.
Yes, stressed because I'm speaking to people who are just incomprehensible to me that I'm actually having a conversation with them. I mean, every single guest we have interviewed, we've spoken to, obviously because they're people we find inspiring.
Yeah.
And so because of that, it can be nerve-wracking.
Definitely. We don't really take the time to kind of look back, which is why these episodes are so cool, because, I mean, we were talking about it last night, like, the fact that we have interviewed these people is something that we never would have thought would have been possible, and it's honestly all thanks to you guys, so thank you so much.
Also, I will defend myself a little bit on the note of being starstruck. I think, to begin with, yes, I very much was unable to control my excitement and my nerves, and it has got easier as recording has gone on, but we've both learnt that at the end of the day, we're speaking to people, we're speaking
to human
beings.
Yeah, just regular people, but actually, because of where they've got to, we're able to uncover unique insights that they have.
Yeah, they're just normal people, like you and me.
Who have done some pretty cool things.
Who have done some pretty cool things. This episode has been a bit of a whirlwind. We've had...
Yeah, sorry for the chaos.
Sorry for the chaos, but if you've enjoyed this little dip in discussion about what it's like behind the scenes, watch the space, as we do have another episode in the lineup.
Yeah, and that will kind of go into way more detail about the ins and outs of actually putting the episodes together, the seasons together, and running a podcast in general, covering everything from finding guests to editing and releasing episodes.
We obviously work as a pair. We both do very different things. So within the organisation, as it were, of the podcast. So I'm really looking forward to being able to have that conversation.
If you were to forget everything from this episode and take nothing else away, this is the main thing we want you to remember. We want to thank you guys, our listeners, who have been with us since episode one.
We will be back very soon. And if you have any questions or just want to get in touch in the meantime, drop us a line on our email, hosts@talkingtothetop.com, or give us a follow on Instagram @talkingtothetop. Thank you for listening.
And see you soon.
I think we should do some outtakes.
Yeah. Hey, ready? Out.
3, 2, 1. Outtakes. Okay.
So we absolutely love this episode. Our favourite. Such a nice guy. Okay. Could you stop revving your engine, please? It's ridiculous. You just got a Fiat 500. Get over yourself. Oh my goodness.
I think what stood out more generally to me was his ability to spork.
We can't spork well.
We can't. Can we also de-steam the car?
It's very steamy. It's so steamy. It's awful.
It's getting steamy.
We went on to interview Kate Moss.
The author, not the model.
Not
I'm
the
afraid
model.
The Kate Moss model was ignoring our emails.
We had a bit of a thing with people called Kate in this season.
We not say we had a thing for Kate. We did not have a thing for
I
Kate.
That so
like you might have had a thing Kate, for Kate, but Kate? I definitely did not.
Oh, it didn't write anything, that's fine. Anyway. Profound comment from Freddie Incoming.
Okay, there really is a profound comment incoming. Okay, get ready.
Okay.
We're here.
Okay. I'm literally sweating. I need to put emotion. Sweat through my trousers. What am I doing with my life? Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night. Slay.